What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Dream a Little. I'm your host, Lo, and today we're going to be talking about what it's really like to have a vanilla partner who's open-minded, accepting, and willing to participate in your kink. When it comes to opening up about ABDL, the worst case scenario is your partner is disgusted and hates it, and the best case scenario, your partner loves it just as much as you do, and sometimes it does happen that way. I've had guests on the show on both ends of the spectrum, but for most of us, the reality is somewhere in the middle, and that's the case with Timmy. So today we're going to be talking about what it actually looks like to be in a relationship with someone who isn't into ABDL, but is willing to help you bring those fantasies to life. We're also going to be covering some of the compromises you might have to make and how to talk to them about awkward topics like when it comes to not only wearing diapers, but using them. As always, if you love this episode and you want to reach out to Timmy, you can find his contact info in the show notes of this episode at thelittlelounge.com/160. That's thelittlelounge.com/160. That's where you'll also find a video player with my latest Nurturing Mommy roleplay. I create and post realistic and nurturing audios for those of you who could use a little help getting into the little space. Maybe you don't have a caregiver or your caregiver lives far away. Whatever the case, if you want to experience what it's like to have me as your mommy, be sure to check it out at thelittlelounge.com/160. All right, I won't make you wait any longer. Let's get started. What's up, Timmy? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Lo. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's really great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure to be a guest on your show. I've listened to all the episodes, and it's nice to be here.
All the episodes?
Maybe one. There was one that I didn't.
Wow, that's impressive. That's really cool. So what do you identify as in the ABDL community?
I would say more DL, maybe a little bit AB, switch, probably 50-50. I have a mommy/little girl, and just 50-50, kind of whatever the mood's feeling.
Okay, so you guys are both a switch couple.
Correct.
Oh, okay. So do you find it's kind of natural to balance who's going to be in what role? Or is there ever some, tension about like, hey, I want to be big tonight. No, I want to be big tonight. Like that kind of thing.
I wouldn't say tension or argument, but maybe a little, not really clear who's going to lead into it first. Or, if she's feeling little and I'm not picking up on it, a little bit of misunderstanding. But it usually gets pretty, sorted out pretty quickly.
Are you guys ever little together?
We've done that a few times. It's not quite as chaotic as the episode when you and your little boy were both little together. We have a little bit more structure, I guess. But generally, if we do that, we end up just, watching movies or something together.
Sounds like you guys are able to play a lot more nicely than we are.
We definitely don't fight each other.
Okay, so neither of you are brats, I'm assuming, then?
I'm not going to go that far either, but we're definitely not brats at the same time.
Okay, cool. So would you say you're both 50-50 on it? And is that like how the time is usually split up? It's like half the time it's you're big and then half the time she's big?
Yeah, it just kind of depends on how the situation is flowing and what prompts it. But yeah, I would say 50-50.
That's great.
Most of the time.
That's great. So how did you figure out that you were into this?
For me it was pretty much the same story as all of us. It's always just kind of been there. I remember growing up with it and doing the same thing that a lot of us did, stealing diapers from, cousins when there was the family get-togethers, or my younger brother when he was younger, and like a lot of us growing up, I thought, man, this is kind of weird. What's wrong with me? What's going on? And then once the internet came about, I was like, oh, thank God, I'm not the only one.
Right. So you're with someone who is very into the lifestyle too, it sounds like.
She is more so now. When we first started dating. And this kind of goes along with how you have said in your podcast, how to slowly approach it and don't just drop the ball on them. I kind of put out feelers and we started discussing stuff. And when we first started dating, she was very, very vanilla. But the one comment that she made to me that was just the ray of sunshine and hope was, I'm very vanilla, but I would really like to expand. And I was
open to
opportunities.
Like, okay.
We can work with this.
That's great. So did you tell her right off the bat when you first started dating that you had some kinks? Like, did you hint about it or did you go straight in for it, you know, like right away?
I have learned over the years with, much like a lot of us have, the right way and the wrong way to broach the subject. So
right.
I kind of put some feelers out there. Well, how do you feel about this? What do you think about this? And then it started out with more of a DDLG dynamic.
Right.
With her being the little and me being the big for the most of the time. And then once she was okay with that, and I kind of introduced the switch dynamic of it, and she was like, oh, I never even thought of that. And then she was more open-minded to it. So,
okay.
It was, I would say it was about a 2 to 3 month progression through the whole thing.
That's really interesting. So when you first opened up, did you ever tell her that you were interested in switching, or was that later as it progressed? You're like, hey, I'm kind of interested in switching the roles here.
It was more that one. It was after she had been little for a while, I introduced it, kind of suggested it, and we went from there. And she was open to it. I didn't initially say, hey, I want to try this, or this is what I, you know, so.
That's got to be nerve-wracking, I feel, I can imagine, for a guy, because taking on the daddy role seems like just an easier way to introduce things. But then when you want to switch the tables around and then it's time to be vulnerable, it just seems a little bit intimidating, you know?
There's always a sense of, okay, hopefully this goes well. But I've introduced this to other partners, and I've had the spectrum of, oh, that sounds great, that's odd, let's try it, to that's disgusting. So
no.
I've had the range of trying to introduce it to, you know, multiple partners and going good and bad.
Do you think, how am I trying to word this? Like, what percentage of like your success do you think is either luck or the other person and their personality and their open-mindedness and your like strategy / approach? Do you get what I'm trying to say? Like, I feel like they're
absolutely
all kind of important, but what do you think is the most important?
They all absolutely play a part. I think, in my opinion, it is 90% the other person, 5% luck, and then 5% situation. Because if you're with somebody that's not even tapped into that part of their mind or willing to tap into that part of their brain or mindset or lifestyle, then you're already defeated. Because if they're not even willing to at least open their mind to it, then, I mean, you're not going to convince them.
I think that's the key word right there, is the willing part. Even if they're not, you know, into it themselves, if they're just a little bit open-minded to it, it makes a huge difference. It makes all the difference. Otherwise, you're just basically talking to a wall that's not going to open up.
Oh, absolutely.
You need someone who's got a door hinge.
One girlfriend who, you know, brought the subject up, kind of, it was the textbook. She saw it on, I think it was Jerry Springer, and, you know, I was like, oh, well, what if I was into that? And she was like, that's disgusting. I would, and it was just like, phew, breaks.
Okay. Was that early on in your relationship with her? Okay.
It was, and it was years ago, before the information was as available as it is now. So of course, you know, she Googles it and finds, again, the stuff, the cringeworthy stuff that we all know is out there. And it's just, you know, she didn't even entertain the thought of, hey, you know what, maybe this is something we could explore and at least try. It was straight up door slammed shut, dead bolted, never discussed again. So
it's kind of a shame that people get exposed to that kind of media before really knowing anything about it. It's almost better if your partner has never seen anything about it or heard anything about it, because then you're starting with a fresh plate and you're not having to do damage control and explain that you're not like these other people who are right. Sensationalized.
Well, and even if they haven't been exposed, I mean, just the mindset that goes along with it. I had another girlfriend at the, you know, much later, that I've discovered the best way to approach it is to start out with, hey, what do you think about this subject, and progressively move towards that. And when I got to the topic of, you know, ABDL and this and that, she, it wasn't that she was against it. She was very open-minded, but she had no knowledge of what it really was. She just completely thought it was something, you know, like a lot of people, oh, they, that's not appropriate and this and that. And, you know, I couldn't call anybody daddy. And once we kind of started exploring it and she understood and learned what it was, she embraced it and had, we had a good time. But initially it's just such a misconception of what's out there.
Yeah. You have to overcome a lot of misconceptions. That's for sure. And it takes a certain type of personality to be able to separate sexual fantasies from what is actually real, right?
Absolutely.
I feel like if they think, like, it's easy for maybe someone who isn't familiar with fetishes or BDSM to assume that it's some kind of disorder or something, like where you really think that you are a baby or like you really want to be a baby for like ever. And yeah, it's hard to overcome those misconceptions. Did she have any like questions for you? Like, how did you overcome those initial, like, ooh, this is unfamiliar, this is weird? Like, how do you calm someone down, you know, when they're worried about it because it's all unfamiliar?
Well, as with anything that makes, you know, people uncomfortable, they don't know, it's the lack of knowledge or familiarization or not knowing about it. So the biggest thing is I just promote them asking questions and say, you know, what can I do to help you understand this, and absolutely make them feel comfortable, and don't rush it. If you ever try to rush it, that's what, you know, makes them uncomfortable as well.
Have you experienced that?
I'm not going to say I rushed it, but it was more of a, hey, this is what I'm into. Are you good with this or not? And she was like, well, not really, kind of. Like, it just, I didn't give her the chance to, you know, to learn about it. It was just kind of a, this is what I like, are you good with this or not?
You're like, and, you came again, came out of the table with like a take it or leave it kind of.
pretty much. And, you know, that's one of those, you definitely learn from your mistake moments.
Okay, so there's a problem with like coming off not confident enough, and then that's like maybe a little bit too confident. It's like, you know, yeah. I didn't think it was possible, but now I'm like, okay, now I'm seeing that. Because you want to make it feel like, you know, they're important to you. And when you're basically, yeah, you kind of come off as like, this is so important to me that if you don't like it, you're out kind of thing.
Exactly. This is it. Oh, all or nothing.
Okay, so I get asked all the time about, you know, like, okay, how do you go from talking about DDLG stuff to like talking about using ABDL diapers and wearing them? I mean, there's a big, it feels like a big gap in between. Like, it seems like most people would be okay with, like, you know, holding a stuffed animal, cuddling a blanket, but like, how do you go from that to, I want to put you in a giant diaper, basically, and I want you to pee in it, you know?
Well, I think there's a couple of steps there from the, you know, from the initial to the, hey, I want you to wear a diaper, to also a next big step that I think we kind of maybe overlook for the non-ABDL people that are coming into this, is not only is wearing a diaper a huge deal, but then using it is, I mean, she was more okay with me putting a diaper on her than her actually using it for several months first. So that dynamic was a little bit different. I mean, you know, having that conversation about, oh, I like this, or, you know, this is kind of how I see this, or what, you know, what are you willing to do, or how far do you want to do? And, you know, bringing that up, saying, you know, I'd kind of like to, if you just kind of drop it in there and be like, you know, I think you'd look kind of cute in a diaper. Is that something you'd be willing to do? And she's, you know, she said, well, I never really thought about it, but, you know, I guess I'd give it a try.
I like that approach.
So there's that initial little bit. And then once that first step, you know, me promoting her to actually use it, that's a whole nother level of working and talking and making her feel comfortable, because that's just, you know, something that most people don't do.
Right. I mean, it's got to be uncomfortable. And, you know, you have to overcome this whole, like, sanitary issue for a lot of people, which totally makes sense. Right. Most people probably don't get that, why it's satisfying for any of us. And it's kind of hard to explain. So have you overcome that yet? Or is that something that you're still working towards with her?
She does once in a while, but it's still pretty rare. Like you say, it's hard to explain. I mean, if you ask me, I couldn't tell you, you know, why I like it, but she is willing to try it every once in a while, but she is not super on, like, she doesn't like to do it frequently. So
that seems understandable. But again,
absolutely. And you know, that's a fair compromise. I respect, you know, you're willing to do this. If you don't want to do that part of it, I'm not going to push that part of it because we're going to do this part of it. So,
right. You don't always get everything, you know, that you want. And exactly. Sometimes you just have to be grateful for what your partner is willing to do. One of the challenges that I noticed with my fiance TK was, first of all, getting him to put me in pull-ups was pretty easy, actually. That part was easy. But then transitioning to like more of adult diapers, that was more challenging because they don't look as sexy to people who aren't into this, obviously. But then the challenge was then, okay, now how do I tell him I want to wet? You know, and then after that, the challenge is actually getting him to just let me be. Like, for someone who's not into this, he's like, okay, like, I want to change you immediately. Like, you know, like, come here, like, let's fix this. And like, it's so hard to explain to someone who's like not into this. So, like, hey, I want to just chill for a bit. I'm enjoying this.
Not only am I enjoying this, these diapers are expensive, so just chill out.
Exactly. It's like $3 for this, dude. It's been on for like an hour. Right, like, let's chill. You know how much these can hold? Yeah, I mean, they are expensive, that's for sure. But yeah, it's like you have to keep kind of leveling up, and that definitely takes time. I think when people try to go from step one all the way to step 10 in one scene with someone who's vanilla, that's when people are like, okay, this is overwhelming me and I'm uncomfortable with it. Like, you gotta let people slowly get accustomed to it.
Absolutely. There's no rush. If you're in a relationship with somebody that's, you know, indulging you and embracing this, you know, aspect of your lifestyle, then that's, you know, 90% of the fun is going down that road and exploring it with them. So there's no rush. It's just it's just about being comfortable and them being comfortable.
Yeah. And I think back to my younger self, and as a young person, I could never even dream about having someone who knew about this, let alone who would participate. So you have to always remember where you started and just be grateful for what you have, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and appreciate that the world is becoming more accepting of different choices and lifestyles, because yeah, especially you know growing up a male with this is much different, like you were saying, than, you know, it's hard to go out into the world as a male having this kind of part of your lifestyle.
Yeah, because it's the complete opposite of what you grow up thinking you should be doing. Right.
Exactly.
You're kind of totally taboo in that way. So how was that, you know, like growing up? When did you realize that you weren't the only person in the world who was into this?
I would say probably the mid to the late 90s, when the internet kind of really started getting better. You know, it was still kind of slow dial-up stuff, but we're able to get out and start exploring, you know, the internet and seeing what was out there. And then, you know, you find different websites where there's actually multiple people, and then progressively more and more as social media developed and finding, you know, more people had access to information and sharing, it was easier to see that there were more people out there.
So some people have told me they have like mixed feelings about that. One is obviously some people feel relieved. They're like, oh, wow, I'm not the only person. That's great. And then on the other hand, some people are like, oh, so this is the realization that I am always going to be into this and it's not going to go away. So did you fall into either of those categories?
I fell into the first one. I mean, it was definitely more relief that, okay, you know what? I'm not a freak. This is a good thing. And that, you know, there are more people out there that are into this. So for me, it was a relief to know that there were more people out in the world. And thankfully, I've never really been hard on myself or thought to myself that I wasn't happy with it. Like, I've heard some of you guys talk about like the binge and purge cycle, which yeah. I kind of understand, but I've never really gone through that where like, I just wanted to get rid of this and I don't want it to be a part of my life and was ashamed of it. And thankfully I've never had that. I just kept it to myself more than anything.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if there's a correlation between people who do feel kind of ashamed about it and getting caught by a parent. Like, you know, when you're either trying to like steal diapers or, you know, and being shamed by them. So did you ever have any of those experiences?
I never got caught by parents. I'm trying to remember of any stories that I've actually, I don't think I've ever actually been caught at all.
Maybe that helps, you know, with your whole not feeling so ashamed because it's just so on the DL. Like no one really knows about it. I don't know about you, but like when I, before I'd ever told anyone, I would just lose interest in it for, you know, like maybe a month or two when I started dating someone new. And I'd almost forget that I was into it entirely. And then like, you know, obviously it always comes back, but I don't know if that counts as a binge and purge. It wasn't like I felt ashamed. It's more of like, I just got distracted, I guess. I don't know how else to describe it.
I think that's a really good way to put it because when you're in a new relationship, there's so much going on. I mean, there's so much to a new relationship. You know, the friendship part of it, the intimate aspect, the physical aspect, there's all these things going on to where it, yeah, it's going to push that back a little bit. But like you're saying, once those things kind of start becoming your in your comfort zone, as opposed to being fresh and brand new, then yeah, it comes back around.
Yeah, totally. So wait, when did you first bring up this? Like how far into your relationship were you in your current relationship?
So we started chatting on, or we met each other online and then we're texting for probably 2 to 3 weeks. And then we were chatting on the phone for a few weeks. We would talk on the phone a lot and we kind of, that's when we would, I would kind of put feelers out there. But I think I would say within the first month or two, I had broached the subject of, you know, the DDLG dynamic before I, you know, brought the whole thing in, just the whole daddy little thing.
Is that a time frame that you'd recommend for other people?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody's different, so it depends on the comfort level. But I definitely think if you're in a relationship and you are looking at something long-term, then yeah, the sooner the better. Simply because, like you said, this is something that's not going to go away. And if you're with somebody that doesn't support that side of you, and that doesn't necessarily have to be them engaging with you, but, you know, if they at least support and understand, hey, this is part of you, I respect that, and I'm not going to try to change that, then you're ahead of the game. But if you're in a relationship where they're completely, I'm not going to have anything to do with this, I don't like it,
that's disgusting.
Exactly. It's only going to cause issues down the road.
100%. So it's better to find out sooner than later.
I think it is. At least, maybe not everything, but at least feelers to know, you know, where their comfort level is at or what they're willing to at least explore.
Yeah, totally. That's solid advice. Well, thank you so much, Timmy, for coming on the show. I really enjoyed getting to talk to you and get to know you a little bit better.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lo, for having me. It's been a real fun time. Thank you.
All right. I'll be in touch.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.